Okay, we're continuing in Siman Kufchav Sif Tesvav, and to talk about the following, a question of whether someone who becomes a ger needs to title his dishes, which is to say, the simple first approach you take to it is, the person yesterday, this dish is owned by a guy, and today the dish is owned by a yid, so if something goes from the ownership of a guy to that of a yid, it should need to. In fact, Rav Vosner or Yashiv, that's how we see it should be. I mean, yesterday it was a guy's cup, creates a yitz, and therefore he should have to do tefillah's kelim for it. So we talk about some people who agree or disagree, but Rav Moshe Weiss looks at it and he says, how come until recent times, basically there's nobody talks about it. There's one Darki Chu who brings someone who speaks about it, but basically no one ever spoke about it, and to Rosh Wise, that's like the most convincing argument that in fact you're not hiding to his canon, because Russ, somebody would have mentioned this idea that it has to be. So we'll talk about soon why he thinks it's not hiding to his canon. But to him, he's like, if nobody says that until now, we're not the first person who met a ger. They were gerim all the time. Someone would have mentioned this then, and therefore he thinks that he's convinced that in itself, that pushes him to say, I'm sure there's going to be no mitzvah tefillah's kelim. Okay, so why taka should there not be tefillah's kelim? When I said they're going from the ownership of goy tzad of yid, so Rav Yosef says, he says it strongly, Rosh Hashanah speaks about it a little bit, but Rav Yosef says, the answer is like this. The Gemara says, when it wants to know whether if you borrow a kli from a goy, you have tefillah's kelim, the Gemara says, lo yishanu el b'kuchen, the only kelim that I have are kelim that are bought from a goy. Borrowed kelim and not chayiv because they're not kemaisa shahaya. They didn't switch ownership the same way that it happened in the time in the war with Midian when the Torah gives us the mitzvah of tefillas kelim. And only if the transfer was like similar to that case is chayiv and tefillas kelim. So a person who borrowed a kli is not kemaisa shahaya, so it's not chayiv and tefillas kelim. We also spoke about it briefly. The Torah says, he says, even if you hold umet kana b'shvach kli, which is its own question, but he says, even if you would hold like that, still, if an uman who's a guy has the ownership of umet kana b'shvach kli, it's not the yid who gets it from back from him, who now takes back ownership of his kli, is not fighting to his kelim, because ki lo yidami l'maisa shahaya. It's not like the Maaseh Shehaya where they had a more traditional ownership, and not the Umen Kohen B'Shvach Kli type of ownership, and therefore you're not chayim Tefillas Kelim for if the guy had just Umen Kohen B'Shvach Kli. That's how the Torah said it. But the point is, and it comes up in a bunch of different other situations, that there's only Tefillas Kelim for the Maaseh Shehaya, and therefore, when he says that any case that's noticeably different than the way it was the case of the Klei Midyan is not Chayv and Tefillas Kelim. And here, there's a very dramatic difference, because usually what happens is, when you get a Kli from a guy, it's the Kli which changes ownership. It goes from belonging from person A to person B. It goes from belonging to the guy to belonging to the yid. But over here, it's the opposite. The Kli didn't move any place. The person is the one who changed. So the person changing is nothing like the case of Klei Midyan, where it was the Kli who changed ownership, and therefore it's not Chayv and Tefillas Kelim. Ravadi has a different version of the same kind of a thing, which is, he says, is over here, it actually, for a fraction of a second, is Hefkar. When the guy goes through his gerus, all those things become Hefker, and then he instantly is cutting them back. So since it came from Hefker, it's not Chayim Tefillas Kelim. I don't know how we know that it becomes Hefker, but he says it becomes Hefker, and since it's Hefker, magically, and then the Yid gets it, so the Yid didn't get it from the Goy, he got it from Hefker. Okay, now, as a sort of aside to this is, the Bavadi speaks about, he says that these reasons, let's say the reason it's not Kamaisa Shehaya, would be a reason why it's a reason for those who hold that if a person is a mumar and then he does tshuva, he shouldn't be chayim tefillas kelim. Which is to say is, in many ways, we have a rule that a mumar is dina ka'akum. So when this person is in din, he's treated like an akum, and then he does tshuva, and he comes back to being the yid, so then, there are those who thought, well, if so, the kli that he owned went from being owned by Mumudin Gakum to a Yid? If so, the king should be chayv to his kingdom. So Rav Yehuda would say, no, it's not Kamaisa Shahaya, and therefore, since it's not Kamaisa Shahaya, therefore, there's no chayv to his kingdom. He has other reasons. He says maybe he's more strong about it, that Mumudin Gakum is not for everything. And this thing would not be Mumudin Gakum. Okay, but anyhow, but for this point, he says that this would be a reason also why the Mumu would not chayv his kingdom when he gets back to being, when he does his tshuva. He also says that's the reason why the Yidden weren't terrible the Kalim by Matan Torah. When we treat them as if they were Gerim, they went from being just a regular people to being Klal Yisrael. So he says that they also didn't have to terrible the Kalim for the same reason, that it was a transfer of the person rather than transfer of the Kli, and therefore there's no Chivot Tefillah. Now, these reasons that we mentioned, these reasons that Rav Yehuda is saying about a Mumur, are not going to help if a Yid bought a kli from the mummer before he did tshuva. That means, on Sunday he was still a mummer, and only on Monday did he do tshuva. And on Sunday somebody bought a kli from him. According to these reasons, if we treat him truly like an akum, then we would say is if he's mummer dina ka akum, and I buy a kli from a guy, then I have to do tshuva's kelim. Okay, the other reasons would still apply. Okay, and if others who speak about that kshay about a mummer does not have nature about it, the tzitzel yezik quotes some sefer who's mako. Rav Moshe is making about it. Rav Osman says you should do tefillah without a bracha. Anyhow, back to our case of the ger. So, Rav Avadia is saying is that it's not kamaisa shahaya. Since it's not kamaisa shahaya, so therefore there's no chiyuv of tefillah's kelim. So Rav Osman explains what the counter argument that is. Well, what's wrong with what he said? He said that when we say that there's a rule that it has to be kamaisa shahaya, Kamaisa Shahaya only means that the type of ownership has to be the same types of ownership. Like, for example, we say the Yid has to take ownership, not just borrow it, like it has to be Kamaisa Shahaya. We have to Uman Kanu Shach Kli, the guy has to have an ownership, a real ownership, not just a sort of type of ownership called Uman Kanu Shach Kli. So it talks about the type of ownership that people have to say Uman Kanu Shach Kli. But over here, it's not a question of ownership, it's a full ownership. The question is just the method of Kenyan. In the case of Klei Midyan, the method of transfer happened through a kinyan, and over here, the transfer happened through the person, changing himself to being something else. But that doesn't make a difference. We don't care about the method that it changed ownership from one person to the other, as long as it went from a pure ownership of a guy to a pure ownership of a yid. I mean, think about it like this. What would happen if, why wouldn't we say, in the case of Klei Midyan, the ownership changed through the kinyan called Kibush Muhammad. That's how they change ownership. And everybody else who buys it gives someone a dollar and he makes a kinyan mishaykh on the kli. So you don't say, oh, it's a different kind of a kinyan. Of course, what you say is, it changed ownership. So it changed ownership. So he says, Kamaisa Shahaya only has to do with how much ownership the guy and the yid had during this changeover. But otherwise, he thinks it's not a reason to pati from Tila's kinyan. Okay, so that's a more, what we said so far, is a more, if you want to say, a more traditional, or more halachic explanation for why a ger is not, would not be chayav tefillah's kelim. And the Shem Yishmuel brings from his father, the Avnezer, a different reason, a different type of reason. He says is that when a ger becomes a yid, and the guy becomes a yid through his gerus, that goes through his own tefillah, that's what finishes his gerus. So he says this, and not only does the tefillah increase the kedusha for the person himself that makes him into a yid, but that same tefillah also lifts up all of his things that he has also. So according to this, the gerus kelim really do need tefillah's kelim, but they actually have a tefillah's kelim without getting wet. But he goes into the mikvah, it's as if they had a tefillah also. And if they had a tefillah also, then they did. They went from being a goy to a yid, and they went through a kli. They went through a tefillah of their own. So that gets a little different kind of a reasoning. Most of the other posts were pretty surprised by this and did not accept it. But that's what he brings from Ebenezer. This won't work for a mumer. There's a minig that a mumer goes to the mikvah when he does tshuva, but that's not a real, so to speak, a chiyuv of a tefillah. So for the mumer, then this reason would not work for the mumer. Okay, so it comes out in halacha lemaisa. It seems to me that there are four different ways. It seems to me that the people acted at this shayla about whether ger should tevel his kelim. So Rabbi Yashiv, the first one is Rabbi Yashiv, who says he should do tefillah. My reading of it wasn't so strong, but it was so clear, but that he would say tefillah with a bracha. That was Rabbi Yashiv was like the strongest. Rav Lashner says that a ger should do tefillah, but he should do tefillah without a bracha. And Rabbi Reis says that's Rav Shechter's bezin. Rav Shechter runs a bezin for gerus. In New York, and that bezin tells their people when someone becomes a ger that they should tefillah without bracha. Okay. Third is Rav Avadya says he's very convinced that his argument l'kula is right. He's convinced that that's true, that you're not chayvin tefillah's kelim. But he says is, you know, just because we have a strong svar to say something that it's not k'mayis shahaya, it's not enough. He's not so. He's convinced, but he's not ready to rely on that reason by itself. So he says only by things chayim tefillos kelim drabanan, like glass, could you be makel on a tevel. But for metal, you should do tefillah and then do that tefillah without a bracha. So it means is that many of the ger's kelim, his glass and his china, a lot of his things are not going to be acquaintances with not be chayim tefillos kelim. But for metal things, with a possible chiyuv tefillah as a derisa, then you should do tefillah without a bracha. And Rabbi says that's the way Rav Schwartz tells Gerim that they should do it seriously. They should do tefillah without a bracha for the metal ones, but not do any tefillah for the glass ones. And the last is Rosh Weiss, who says you can conclude the mekel. He says you want to do it. It's all right. And he says, yeah, that's fine if you want to tevel. He says, but you don't think you can at all. Okay, two last little things is that if you assume that tefillah is required, so Rabbi actually just points out that there's a little bit of a logistical issue, which is that the gareth, if he's tevel at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday morning, he can't eat anything now until he tevels his kelim, because he can have paper plates, but basically all of a sudden in 1 second he goes from he now has to tevel his dishes. And he could buy his chal v'shal milk and his tel aviv bagels the day beforehand and had them ready, but what is he going to do about the his kelim? So if he wants to avoid the problem, the person before his gerus can give his dishes to a yid, and now it belongs to a yid, and then he could, then this guy can go ahead and say that this pre-ger, this gerus candidate, can go ahead and tevel all dishes. Now, in Halacha Tezvav, we saw that you're not allowed to believe a guy to say that he tevels his dishes. So if he tevels the dishes that are, so to speak, not his anymore, and he tevels them, so he doesn't have any money. So Rabbi Yashiv says he can trust himself. You know, tomorrow when he wants to eat them, he's the idiot. He knows that he told them he could trust himself that he did the tefillah, even though when he did it, he was a guy who doesn't have the money, but he's just trusting himself. Rabbi Yashiv doesn't talk about it. Well, what about his family? Somebody else wants to eat from him, how they trust him? That I don't understand. Well, I don't know that part. But he himself is allowed to trust himself that he did the tefillah when he was a guy titled the tail that belonged, so to speak, to a yid. He also doesn't talk about that he then loses out on his bracha, because if he does the tefillah then, he's doing tefillah, he's the guy doing the tefillah, he's not going to make a bracha, he doesn't talk about that part either. Okay? Also, in the future, in Siman Reish Beis, they talk about a certain shayla about tefillah's kelim. It's not, theoretically, it's not a shayla that applies only to gerim, but in practice, it's most likely to happen as a somewhat uncommon tefillah's kelim shayla, which actually we just came up here at the CRC. It's most likely to come up for ger. We'll speak about that then.